unto us, but unto thy name. Give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And notice that even before the psalmist goes into the folly and the vanity of all those idol gods and the foolishness of them, that he already guards against the idolatry of self. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. And then the psalmist effectively goes on as if to say, and now let's compare the one true God, Jehovah, to all the other idol gods in this world, and we will see how those other idol gods compare. And then as Psalm 115 goes on, silver gods and gold gods, and all made by men. They have eyes but can't see, ears and they can't hear, and all the rest. So that those are not the true gods. They're nothing but stocks and blocks. And there's nothing real about them. There's only one true God, our God, who lives in the heavens. And that's the consistent testimony of the entire Word of God, that there is only one true and living God. So that in the Old Testament even, never did God allow the other idol gods to have a place beside him or alongside of him. Why not? Because they are no gods. Baal is no god. Dagon is no god. Ashtaroth is no god. One true God. And you think of the contest that happened at Mount Carmel between Elijah, the prophet of Jehovah, and the prophets of Baal, those 450 prophets. Elijah mocks those prophets for worshiping a false god, but then Jehovah God reveals himself to be the one true God by causing that fire to come down from heaven and to consume the sacrifice, to consume the water, to lick up all the water round about that moat. Baal is no god. One true God, Jehovah. And that's why God says in the command, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that means no other gods alongside of me. No other gods in front of me that you worship. No other gods that would be way off in the distance that you would even give lip service to. Because Jehovah is jealous of his own glory. He deserves it. One true God. And this matter of trusting in the one true God becomes especially important in the times of distress in our lives. In times of distress, there are enemies who would confront you and are ready to challenge you as to whether or not Jehovah God is really true or not. Maybe that challenge comes to you from a coworker. Maybe that challenge comes to you from a family member who has gone astray and doesn't hold to the faith anymore, and we're going through very difficult times, and they come to us and they say to us, when they see that we're having a very difficult time because of whatever, and they say, well, where is your God? Where is he? They say. And what kind of a God do you worship who lets you struggle and allows you to go on and on in that affliction day after day, year after year? If your God is so powerful and merciful as you claim he is, then why doesn't he come and help you and relieve you out of your situation? Where is your God? That's a challenge that comes to us at times. Very difficult challenge, and that's the exact same thing that's taking place here in Psalm 115, verse 2. In Psalm 115, verse 2, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?
But you see, that's what the heathen say. That's what the heathen said to the Israelites in the Old Testament. They're watching Israel. They see when Israel falls and is in dire straits. And that's the moment the enemy comes and says, but where is he? You believe in him. Where is your God?
And then the answer of the word of God comes to us in all of sacred scripture. And this we know, that Jehovah God, he is God, he is true, he is living. And he's doing this in my life because he wants to, not because he has no power over it, not because he's unaware, but that he wants this for me. And why does he want this or that particular trial in your life or in mine? Well, we don't know all the answers this side of the grave, but we do have this answer. Because this is the good pleasure of God, the one true God, who is all wise, all knowing, all sufficient, all good, all merciful. The Lord has determined it. It will turn out for my good. I believe it. Because I believe in him, the one true God of heaven and of earth.
And then you look at verse 2 again of Psalm 115. Wherefore should the heathen say,
Where is now their God? That word wherefore, as if to say, what right do the heathen have to come to me? To challenge whether or not my God is true. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now my God? I know him who loves me and who gave his son for my sins and for my salvation. He is the living God of heaven and of earth. And he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And that's our confession then. God is sovereign. He's done whatsoever he has pleased. In the struggles and the afflictions in your life, in the hardships and the burdens in my life. In the good times, the times of peace and plenty and prosperity. All belong to the sovereign jurisdiction of the one true God of heaven and earth. Who does good and who has his people in mind in all that he does. And here the Heidelberg Catechism then goes on to give a list of the ways that we worship this one true God, so that in worshiping him, we would avoid all idolatry. Answer 94 says that we learn rightly to know the only true God. Because if we confess him to be the only true God, which we do, then we must know him. And we must know him rightly. If we do not know God, if we have a false knowledge of him, then we will inevitably fall off into ways of idolatry. But in knowing him, then we know who we worship. And we know that all the idols are vain. And so we're called to know the one true God. And we don't find out who God is just by thinking about him. Just by looking up at the stars in the sky and thinking that's going to give me some mystical experience about who the Creator is. No, but God has revealed himself in his Word. And therefore, as the children of God, We love God's Word. We love the sacred scriptures. We are busy studying God's Word, searching the scriptures. We have to learn rightly to know the only true God. And God has revealed himself to us in his Word. And God has revealed himself centrally to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not know God apart from Jesus Christ. You want to know who God is? Then look no further than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, and see him in his love for his people, suffering the reproach of men, dying for the sins of all God's people there on the cross of Calvary, the only way that we can rightly know the only true God of heaven and of earth is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see him in his love for us, by laying down his life, in his mercy for us, in his long suffering, and when we see him, then we see the Father. And God has revealed himself to us as the one true and living God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second place, worshiping God and avoiding idolatry according to the catechism, then means that we trust in him alone, not in our own selves, not in our own strength, not in our neighbor. We trust in God alone. Catechism goes on, and with humility and patience, submit to him. And that's part of worshiping Jehovah God, is being humble before him, being patient with regard to God's will in my life. And sometimes that's not easy. It's not easy when we're going through difficulties in our lives. And those difficulties just don't go away. And they linger on month after month and year after year. And sometimes we might become so bold as to say, God, why are you doing this? And we can sometimes say that sinfully, so that what we mean to say is to accuse God. God, you have no right to be doing this, and this is wrong for you to be doing this in my life. The catechism says, with humility and patience, to submit to his will. That is worshiping the one true God and avoiding all idolatry. And then in the third place, expecting all good things from him only, so that we don't look to our own strength, we don't look to the neighbor, and expect that they can give me some lasting and everlasting grace and mercy, and that they will be the ultimate cause of the relief of my problem. No. But only God. Only God. It pleases God to use means in our lives. But at bottom, God is the one from whom we expect all good things. And then catechism finally, to love, fear, and glorify him with my whole heart. Heart and soul and mind and strength, I love him. It's not easy, because again, we are so inclined to that self-worship and lifting myself up. But worshiping the one true God means that with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, we love him, we honor him, and we glorify him as God of my salvation. So that's the first commandment, that there's only one true God, and therefore all idols are vain, and therefore, finally this morning, we are called to place our trust in him. And the seriousness of our calling to trust in God is stated at the end of answer 94. It states that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry. That I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul. So speaking of the desire of our hearts, and the question is, do you desire the salvation of your own soul? And the emphasis isn't simply on my soul, but really on salvation itself. What's your mind about salvation? And about the Lord Jesus Christ, who merited that salvation for you. Is that salvation something that's very precious to you? and that you want, something that you want to enjoy in this life and the life to come, something that you want to live forever with God in heaven, you think of your desire for that salvation. How important is salvation to you? And we as the children of God, we say, that's very important to me. Salvation is very important to me, and I very sincerely desire it. And that's the true, and that's the proper confession. And now, even as you sincerely desire that salvation of your own soul with such a spiritual fervency and strength, with that same fervency and strength that you desire the salvation of your own soul, flee idolatry. Get rid of those idols. And flee to the cross of Jesus Christ to find all your salvation. But flee from that idolatry. Because there's no salvation there. There's no comfort. There's no security there. There's only salvation in Jehovah and faith in Him. And so flee to your Savior. And to cling to the cross, wherein is all our salvation, and through whom it pleases God to reveal Himself to us. And then the Catechism says at the end of answer 94, so that I renounce all creatures, renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. And what that means is that if there is anything, if there is anything in your life or mine that would serve as a stumbling block, any possession that would try and persuade you and say, I can give you a little bit of happiness. I can give you a little bit of comfort. Anything in my life or yours that is becoming an idol, that is starting to take the place of Jehovah God and faith in Him, then we must be ready to get rid of it and to renounce it so that Jehovah God alone stands supreme. Supreme in my mind and in my heart and in my love and devotion for Him. To put it very simply, the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That means that we must lead a very God-centered life. Not a self-centered life. My life is not about me. Your life is not about you. My life is not about my house. My life is not about just trying to attain a better standard of living. Not about my recreation. We're thankful to God when He gives us earthly things like that, but that's not the main point of my life. Jehovah God is the main point of my life. My life is all about giving glory and honor and praise and gratitude to the one true God who has saved me from all my sins. And now everything that God pleases to give me, my possessions, my education, my family, I press it all into the service of His name. And I will be humble and patient in the bad times and in the good times. Everything in my life becomes God-centered. Because there are no idols. He is the one true and living God. May God so grant that we live with the glory of God foremost in our minds, and therefore that we would flee and forsake and renounce all idols and place our trust alone in God alone, who is worthy. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this morning. Bless it to our hearts. Give us grace to love Thee alone. We thank Thee for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Grant that we give our lives in service and love and devotion for all that He has done for us, that we would live a God-centered life to Thy glory. Forgive us when we do set up idols in our lives. Destroy those idols. Make us to see that thou art worthy and that thou art God alone. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen. We sing Psalter number 308. Psalter number 308, versification of Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, O Lord of heaven, but unto thee be glory given. We sing five stanzas, Psalter number 308.
Thank you.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.